live my life 3 seconds at a time. Because in this business, that's all it takes, either win or lose. And for 3 years, ever since the PWF has come to Hubert, North Carolina, I've proven my worth. I've become a 3-time PWF Tag Team Champion. I've become the 3rd PWF Mid-Atlantic Champion. And now on May 20th, in Hubert, North Carolina, at the Hashimoto Hall, I had the opportunity to win my 3rd PWF Championship by competing for the Ohtani Openweight Championship. I guess what they say is true, that everything great comes in threes. And I want everybody in Hubert, Jacksonville, Cape Catteray, Wilmington, wherever you're coming from, to come on down to the Hashimoto Hall and experience history in the making. And you can put that on everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, good brothers, good sisters, welcome back to episode 10 of Ringside Rant right here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. I have the honor of sitting down today with, there's only 2 words that can describe this gentleman. It's Mr. Everything. Victor Andrews, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. How are you feeling today?
Oh, you know, hanging in there, a little bit under the weather this afternoon, but, when I have the opportunity to talk to you, I'm not going to, I know we've been playing tag a little bit because of some scheduling conflicts and family stuff, but I basically have to be next to death not to not to sit down with you tonight, but no, it's definitely an honor to have you on the show. I know I ended up watching last March when you were on NXT with Lars Sullivan, and listened for a few other podcasts that you've done, and it's once you see you wrestle once on YouTube or whatnot, and you're hooked pretty much.
Well, I really appreciate it, man. It's an honor to be here, and I really appreciate everything that you're doing.
Like I said, this is a way of a lot of people ask me, they're like, okay, well, why do you do this whole podcast thing? You never grew out of that wrestling thing. I'm like, well, no, I'm 33 years old, and some things you don't grow out of, but it's one of those things. I try to, you never know who the next Seth Rollins or Kevin Owens, and you never know who's going to be the next big name, and trying to help all the guys that I sit down with, including yourself, to get your name out there and make sure that everybody knows who Mr. Everything is. So I noticed that you are from Brooklyn, New York, and now you're in Smithfield, North Carolina. What?
Garner, North Carolina.
Garner, okay. Well, that source is going to be unnamed, why they gave me the wrong town, but... regardless, growing up in Brooklyn, what made you want to go down to North Carolina? Was it just, was it the wrestling? Was it just personal stuff? Or what made you go down to North Carolina?
Well, actually, I moved here with my mom and all our family. We moved here when I was 16.
Okay.
I was still in high school, and I moved here. And then once I graduated high school, I went to the military. And then once I got old enough to get out of Dodge and leave North Carolina. It's nothing wrong with North Carolina. It's just not my cup of tea because it's a lot slower than New York.
Yeah.
And I went back to New York around 2008, 2009-ish. Mm-hmm. And then I stayed up there for a good minute, and that's how I jumped into the wrestling business. I was working at a modeling agency mm-hmm. in Manhattan. And one of the managers for the agency, she was a professional wrestler. Her name is Lady Lee mm-hmm. Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And she took me out to Ace Pro Wrestling down in Union City, New Jersey. And I started working with those guys out there and training. And that's how I got my foot in the door. And, mm-hmm. I am who I am because of her right now.
Yeah, and it's one of those things I asked myself when I heard, when I first saw you last March in NXT and... a few podcasts that you've been on that I've listened to, I should say. And I'm like, why do they call him Mr. Everything? I'm like, okay, so I look at your your rundown. You're, like you mentioned, you're a U.S. Army veteran. So first and foremost, thanks you for your service.
Thank you.
And then, like you said, you're a hair model. You're a motivational speaker. You're a runway model. You've been in One Tree Hill, which is on television, as well as in Piranha 3D. You are literally Mr. Everything.
Yeah, I've been working since I was 9 years old. I started out packing bags at a grocery store across the street from my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've done it all, from packing bags to military to a group home counselor for boys, to mm-hmm. a runway model, to an actor, to teaching runway, teaching mm-hmm. acting, mm-hmm. to bus driver, motivational speaker, public speaker,
mm-hmm.
barber, janitor. I've done it all. Fast food business. I've done pretty much everything up under the sun.
Nowadays you don't you don't see that a lot. Not a lot of the guys today. They basically get their get their nose to the grindstone. They have one thing to do and they do it. But not necessarily a bad thing, because you never know. You know, especially when you're when the wrestling career is done, you definitely have a lot of options waiting for you if and or when that happens.
Yeah, I'm actually working on an option to fall back on now. I'm in college
mm-hmm.
right now, and I'm getting my degree in athletic training. So mm-hmm. that's my fallback career right now.
Yeah, I remember seeing that online on Facebook and on Twitter too, and I'm like, you know, it's one of those things, you know, nowadays a lot of the younger guys that are getting in the business, or you know, they have one motivation, that's, you know, get to the big time, get to WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, what have you, and you know, they're not thinking of after it's over, because you know, one moment could change everything.
But with that, a lot of guys are not thinking about the after and the during, because mm-hmm. let's say you get out there and you get signed to the WWE, and you know, they don't have nothing for you after a while. No creative can't figure anything out for you, and mm-hmm. they want to release you on your contract. Well, yeah, of course you'll come back to the indies, but I tell a lot of guys, you know, get into something like acting or modeling, something mm-hmm. to where you're still an asset to the company.
Yeah.
Look at John Cena and Randy Orton and The Miz,
mm-hmm.
Dolph Ziggler and Rusev and The Rock. You know, all these guys, mm-hmm. they've done things. Randy Orton, Kane, they've done things as far as the movie business to where they're still an asset to the company. And yeah. I always tell guys, like, look, you know, you may get released as a wrestler, but they may keep you on as an actor. And yeah. if you go out there and you build your name up, you know, they bring you back on as a wrestler, especially if you build up a new character
yeah.
and make a stronger following, you know, fan base.
Yeah, and it was one of those things that I recently found out with Hillbilly Jim going into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. I actually heard, I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but the Scuttlebutt was saying that when he was released or stopped wrestling, he ended up going to sell the Coliseum videotapes. So I'm like, wow, that's, you know, it's a perfect example. You know, you're trying to find a different avenue once the lights go off, so to speak. But I noticed that you debuted in 09. So you're coming up next year on your 10-year run, 10-year anniversary of when you started. What has been some of your high points earlier on and going up to date today?
Definitely the highest point was my first match. I didn't feel like I was ready, but I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't feel like I knew everything I needed to know, but I was ready to get in the ring. I was so much in a rush. I mean, I've been watching it since I was a kid. My mom used to make, you know, it make it a big occasion for whenever WrestleMania or any pay-per-views came on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just ready to get in the ring and get in there and show what I could do and show what I've been watching on TV. And I realized what I've been watching on TV and what I'm really getting ready to do is two different things. And I learned a lot in my first experience, my first match.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, just getting in the ring with different guys and learning from different people like C.W. Anderson from ECW, Steve mm-hmm. Corino from mm-hmm. ECW,
mm-hmm.
the Rock and Roll Express, Bret Hart, Chase Stevens, The list goes on and on and on for so many different people who I've watched on TV and had the opportunity to learn from and make myself not even better in the business, but better in life as well.
Right.
Because they don't always just teach you just the wrestling aspect. They teach you how to carry yourself in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you know, I really built up a really good a really good image for myself. Anywhere I go, every show I go to, I'm dressed in a suit. I'm always carrying my business cards. I have 8x10s with my information on the back, because you just never know where you're going to be and who's going to see you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, getting an opportunity to work for the WWE is the biggest thing for me right now. It all started with working with Ring of Honor and doing a little squash match and doing things like cutting hair for the boys in the back and things like that. I got a chance to cut Steve Corino's hair, Kevin Sullivan, Kenny King. So many different guys, you know, I had opportunity to give him a haircut. Caprice Coleman, I actually went to his house and cut his son's hair.
Yeah.
So, you know, just having those big opportunities and then going out to NXT and working with these guys and having an opportunity to, you know, do a promo and have a good match and actually have some offense and things like that. Like, things that I wasn't expecting to have with my first time coming to the NXT and then getting a chance to work in Raw and SmackDown and sitting down with all these different guys, like having brunch with Shinsuke Nakamura, like sitting at the same table and eating and having a conversation, shaking hands with Shane McMahon and getting a chance to, you know, shake hands with Triple H and step in the ring at SmackDown and work a tryout match in front of the entire roster, and for guys like John Cena to be standing there and watching my match is a big thing for me. It's like the highlight of my career. Like, if I couldn't wrestle tomorrow, I think I'd be satisfied because I've done things that I would never thought I'd be able to do.
Right. And that when you went on SmackDown, that was last year, right?
Yes. NXT was July, and then SmackDown was in August.
Okay. Yeah, because I do remember seeing you. I've been following you since you made that debut, and on SmackDown and then NXT and stuff, and I'm like, wow, there's, you know, you follow you on Twitter, follow you on Facebook or what have you, and you know, it's nice to see a lot of the guys that you know make a name for themselves, but it's all about you know, making those shaking those people's right people's hands, I should say. So sure. It's just a matter of you know, and there's always a right time for everything too. Now, I did see that you wrestled Shane Taylor over in Ring of Honor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, because you tagged with your brother when you first started, right?
Yeah. When we did Ring of Honor, it was me and James Anthony, and we tagged against Keith Lee and Shane Taylor.
Okay.
And
yeah, because I ended up talking to – the only reason why I'm asking is I ended up seeing that match on YouTube and I ended up watching it because I ended up doing an interview with Shane Taylor too previously. And I'm like, oh, well, I didn't know you guys were – you guys faced each other and multiple times anyways.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that was the only time we had a chance to step in a ring, and I'm hoping to get another opportunity to step in a ring with Shane Taylor and actually show – what I can do. I've been watching him. I've been seeing his growth, and I would love to have another opportunity to get in there and show him that, you know, not only has he grown, but I've grown as well.
Mm-hmm.
And size doesn't really matter. It's all about how much you want it. You know, the size of the heart, that's where it matters.
Yeah. Now, like you said, you mentioned you had a tryout with WWE and NXT and Ring of Honor. Is that something that you continually, you know, they're in town for tryouts. Is that something that you continually, you know, apply for or get there to, you know, show your stuff?
Yes, definitely. I actually went down to Orlando and Miami at the beginning of the year on New Year's for Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
And I done a tryout match at SmackDown, and then I went down to Atlanta this past February for NXT. I went down for 2 days and did a little security spot with involved with Sanity and the Undisputed Era.
Okay.
So you know, I'm constantly, you know, putting my face out there, putting my stuff out there, and keeping in contact with the powers that be to, you know, you know, keep my name in their minds and keep me in their thoughts. So that way, when things start happening, you know, I'm the first person that they think of.
Right, exactly. Now, you mentioned that, you know, you've been watching the business since you were little. What is something that made you, you know, want to get into that business? Was it growing up watching it or, you know, a specific thing?
Well, it was always growing up watching it, but wrestling was my third option. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because growing up, you know, we had two options where I grew up. I grew up in Brownsville, the Brownsville area of Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And we had two options that was basically that we could see. It was either to become a sanitation worker or a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the smell of garbage, and I could never see myself selling drugs. So wrestling has brought me out of that predicament to where I've had a better life.
Yeah.
And growing up watching it as a kid to watching, like, you know, Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker has always been my favorite. You know, he's always been the person I always follow throughout his whole career, and Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero and mm-hmm. you know, all these different great guys who paved the way for us to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to be able to do exactly what they've done, if not even better. And of course, you know, like I said, my mom used to always make it a big occasion. It was always something to enjoy mm-hmm. spending time with my mom and watching wrestling. So I like to do it and make her proud, and she loves it. She loves coming to see me at shows, and she gets all into it. And I love to see the smile on her face every time I step in the ring.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, you do it definitely. All the guys definitely do it for some reason. And a lot, 9 times out of 10, it's usually about their, you know, their parents or their siblings or whatever that, you know, they're doing it for them or they're doing it with them, just because of those memories that you had growing up watching it. And, but now I did notice that you tend to be more of a baby face instead of a heel. Is turning heel something that you eventually would like to do, or do you just want to stay more of a baby face?
I'm more of a as needs basis. So mm-hmm. whatever the company needs, I'm there to perform and serve to the best of my ability. So if they need me to go out there and make a baby face look great, I can get out there and do that. If they need me to go out there and turn somebody heel and give that those fans somebody to really cheer for and get behind, I can do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's easy for me. I love doing both. I would like people to like me, but I don't mind getting booed and things like that. And even when I'm heel, I don't really talk trash or nothing like that. It's all in the demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't always about going out there and calling somebody fat or stupid or anything like that. It's all mm-hmm. in the demeanor. Mm-hmm. And I learned that from C.W. Anderson, because he don't really talk much.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in the ring, he gives you that certain look that made to where you're either intimidated or you really want to just get in there and punch him in his face.
Yeah.
And but you know better, because you know just the way he looks, knowing that if you stepped in that ring, he will probably knock you out. And just from what he does to his opponents in the ring makes you, you know, make you want to hold on to that seat a little bit tighter. So I always go in with a certain demeanor when it comes to being a heel. And with a baby face, you know, I can get out there and be exciting and create and draw the crowd into my emotion and really get them behind me and love everything that I do.
Mm-hmm. Now, CWN, is he still active?
Yes, he is very active. This man is incredible. He's rebuilding himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's lost a lot of weight. He's toned up a lot. He's built a lot of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving a whole lot faster. He's making a lot of these younger guys just look like they're just standing still in the ring a lot of times. I've been watching a lot of the matches that he's been doing, and CW is phenomenal. And I'm waiting for the opportunity to get in the ring with him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I ended up watching when they did the rebranding, I guess you could say, or the second coming of the ECW brand back in the early 2000s there. You know, it was, I finally saw him there, and then I'm like, oh, wow, he's active. You know, he's good. He's, you know, he's doing things that normally you wouldn't see somebody like him do. So, you know, I throw it in the old YouTube and Google machine and look him up and see all his past matches, and it was just, you know, you see him once and, you know, you're hooked, you know. You don't, you know, it's one of those things you want to model yourself after that type of athlete.
Definitely, and that's what I do a lot of times when I do different things, even down to the spine buster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says he has, like, one of the best spine busters in the business after the original Andersons, and
mm-hmm.
I want to be that person to, in a sense, overdo C.W. Anderson's spine buster. So
mm-hmm.
every time I step in the ring and it calls for a spine buster, my first thought is, I wonder if CW is going to be mad that this one is better than his.
Well, you know, you kind of make it into your own, too. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, if that's the case, you know, you get a lot of guys that, you know, get angry when somebody, oh, that was my move, or that's my move. I'm like, well, it's a drop kick, you know. You can't pant in one of the basic moves in wrestling, unfortunately, but as far as a spine buster goes, you know, you got so many different people that do it so many different ways. Like you mentioned the Andersons. You can even go back to, you know, Triple H started doing it and all that stuff with later in his career too. But yeah, it's too many people get all upset when you try to do somebody else's moves. But now you said. You brought up your first match being one of your memorable matches. Outside of that, what has been one of your favorite matches that you've had in your storied career?
Well, definitely outside of that in NXT, the best matches I've had has been with, you know, with the Extreme Horsemen. Me and James took on CW and Steve Corino
mm-hmm.
for the very first time in a tag match, and man, just being able to learn how to work and get out there and draw the fans into mm-hmm. it emotionally and you know, the whole aspect of getting in the ring with those two is just so great. And then of course, you know, working with the Rock and Roll Express and just learning how to just slow down and take things slowly and
mm-hmm.
make everything mean something. You know, 20 punches mean a whole lot less than one punch, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and just learning that whole aspect. I mean, it's so many. I mean, I've been wrestling for 9 years. It's so many matches. I couldn't just put one over the other. Every
yeah.
match I've ever had has been an experience for me to learn something new
mm-hmm.
and something better. So every match has been a great and phenomenal match.
Right. Now, do you normally stay down in the southern states? Like you said, you're in North Carolina. Do you tend to stay in the southern, like Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Carolinas? Or do you tend to go outside of that?
Oh no, I'm all over the place. I've like you said, I've been in North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. I've been in Alabama. I've been in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, Chicago, Illinois. Well, Tennessee, New York, New Jersey. And then next couple of months in May, I'll be going to Vegas for the first time. And then hopefully by the summer, I'll be able to go cross seas and working mm-hmm. on that, working mm-hmm. on some, working with, talking to a couple of companies out there to kind of get out there to the UK mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of get my foot wet out there and
mm-hmm.
become an internationally known superstar rather mm-hmm. than something just local.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that something that you always wanted to do, go over to the UK and learn that strong style kind of wrestling? Or...
I always tell people I can't be Mr. Everything if I don't know and can't do everything.
Right.
So I want to go everywhere. I want to go to the UK and learn the strong style. I want to go to Japan and learn, you know, the Japanese strong style. I want to go to China and learn how they do things out there. Australia. I want to go to Germany. I want to go to Hawaii. I just want to go out everywhere
mm-hmm.
and become a renaissance man of the professional wrestling business and mm-hmm. be able to get in the ring with anybody in any style, any genre, and just get out there and work and not only make myself look good, but make my opponent look good as well.
Right. Now, like you said, you've been all over. Is there a specific company that you haven't worked for outside of the one that you mentioned out in the UK? Is there that one specific company that, you know, you've kind of alluded over the last little bit that you want to work for more than another? Or?
There's several of them. I definitely would love to work for Evolve. Mm-hmm. I've been to a couple of tryouts for them. And like I said, with everything that I do, there's always some room for growth. And I'm hoping that the next time they have a tryout or anything like that, that I've grown to the point where they want to bring me on as a talent. So definitely Evolve is one of the big ones that comes to mind that I really would love to work for.
Yeah. Now, who, you being in the business for so long, you know, you adapt to certain times, but certain styles and what have you. Who's someone now that, you know, you throw up on the network or you throw on YouTube that you kind of, you know, try to learn something from, something different? Who's been one of your go-to guys to watch to learn certain movesets?
A lot of the UK guys like Tyler Bates and Pete Dunne. I love being able to watch them and seeing how they like to, manipulate your ligaments and your fingers and everything like that, and just doing certain things that is very little, but it means so much. I'm real big on that. Ever since I've been working with a lot of different guys, a lot of the older vets, like I always say, Ricky Morton, just learning from them, I like being able to learn that little means a whole lot more, and just doing little small things. So definitely, you know, a lot of the UK guys, I love being able to watch them and follow a lot of their stuff and set the standard for myself to not only take some of what they do, but make it my own.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's one of those things, like I said, when guys like yourself have been in for, 9-10 years, you see a lot of guys come and a lot of guys go, and you kind of have to adapt to that certain moveset wherever you may be. But are those like two of the guys that, if you were to fantasy book yourself against somebody, whether it be WWE, NXT, are those two of the guys that you'd want to work with, or somebody else on your mind as far as that?
I would love to work with everybody. Yeah. Everybody has something to offer. Everybody has a reason to, make themselves better than what they are today. And I've always been the one to say, I don't want to be the best. I just want to get in the ring with the best. Mm-hmm. So that way, when I get in the ring with them, I want them to be able to doubt themselves and be like, maybe I'm just not the best that I think I am. Maybe it's something that I need to learn more, because this guy is really staying with me. He's really sticking there, going toe to toe. And with my experience, I shouldn't be able to, but with the way I think and my mindset, I can pretty much get in the ring with anybody and make them feel like, okay, something not right with this guy. Like, he's learning as we're moving. Mm-hmm. I always reference a lot of things with Dragon Ball Super. And, for the comic book fans or, nerds or whatever you want to call them, I've always been big on Goku, who is a Super Saiyan of all Super Saiyans, who gets in a fight and not only learns during the fight, but he grows as he's going. And that's my type of mentality, is I want to get in the ring and step in the ring with the best and not only learn as I'm going, but get better as the match is going on, as the fight is going on. Yeah. So definitely, Tyler Bates, Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews. I would love to have a match to see who's the better Andrews and play on that for a little bit and, just keep going from there.
Yeah. No. Did you bring it up, Mark Andrews? Did you end up watching the? You might be probably busy, but did you get a chance to watch the 205 Live, that tournament?
Yes, I did. I did, and I truly enjoyed it. I'm so happy for Cedric. I've had a chance to work with him and have a couple of matches with him and been in a couple of shows. And every time I go to SmackDown or Raw, I always get a chance to sit down and chop it up with him and see how things is going, and I'm just enjoying it. Like, this is a great time for wrestling because everybody is being able to showcase their talents in different aspects of, the wrestling business. And I'm loving the tournament. I'm loving how they mix and match the different guys. It's not just the same size guys or the same style. You got the Luchas and you got the guys from China with Akira Tozawa and Hideo Itami. These guys are mixing it up with their two different styles, but they're actually making it mesh and making it gel all together. So I'm really enjoying all of it.
Yeah, because I've definitely been a big fan of Cedric since they started the 205 Live brand, I guess you could say. It was just, there's something about him that you don't, he's, you can't put your finger on it. You know what I mean? You know he's got it, and it's just like, okay, you got to get him in the right direction as far as the storylines or bookings or whatever the case may be. But I think they're on the right track right now with Triple H taking over 205 Live. So hopefully we'll see. Hopefully we won't see the title match on the pre-show at WrestleMania coming up in a couple of weeks. Hopefully it'll start off the show, but it's definitely going to be, you know, definitely going to be a good match between Cedric and Mustafa Ali, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. And I really feel like this WrestleMania is going to be hard to book. I mean, you got so many different matches with so much hype behind it and so much great talent put together. It's like, you know, who do we put on the pre-show and who do we put on the main show? And it's almost like you just want to do like a whole just main show. Like, the pre-show would not do any justice for anybody. You just need to do just one whole show.
Right.
And make WrestleMania 4 or 5 hours long. I mean, New Japan does their thing for 5 or 6 hours. So why can't WWE do this for 5 hours straight as well? And not even call it a pre-show, just call it all just the WrestleMania.
Right, and I know they did that last year with the WrestleMania when they ended with Roman Reigns and Undertaker. And, you know, a lot of the times you get, I've watched a few of the events over from Japan on New Japan World, and for me anyways, obviously you're being on the East Coast too, you got to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get the to see it live if you want to, and then like you said, it lasts about 4 to 5 hours, but there's not a slow point in that event, any event that I've seen. And I think that's going to be the stronghold right now as far as wrestlers coming over from Japan or going out to Japan first before they even, you know, they make it to WWE or NXT so they can gain that experience working for a good organization, so you can, you know, you don't have to you know hinder anything that you get when you get there. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you see yourself in WWE? Do you see yourself in a different organization? Where do you see Victor Andrews in 5 years?
If you asked me that 3 years ago, I would have said President of the United States. Like I said, you can't be Mr. Everything if you're not gonna do everything.
Yeah.
And that's still a goal from. It's still a goal of mine. Like, I'm legitimately considering running for president of the United States when the time is right for me to make that decision. But definitely in 5 years, I plan to be the cruiserweight champion for WWE.
Mm-hmm.
The longest run in WWE history. I plan to go in there and, you know, break the proverbial glass ceiling and set records and drop jaws and become a central face for the entire brand of the cruiserweights, if not become a face for the heavyweights and a universal title or the tag team division. Like, I plan to run through the entire company and put my and stamp my name on everything they have to offer. Mm-hmm. And I won't take no for an answer.
Well, and that's a good mentality to have, you know, go big or go home at this point, because if you don't want to get to WWE or NXT, even more WWE, then, you know, you're obviously doing it for the wrong reasons, you know what I mean? In my opinion, because, you know, that's the pinnacle of where you want to be. You know, you get your recognition, you get your face on TV all the time, and you know, become a household name. But lastly, I want to say that I appreciate you coming on. I know we've been playing tag a couple times, but I'm glad I finally got to sit down and talk with you. It's been a long time, long time coming that I definitely wanted to chat with you. So, but take this time for the last few moments to, you know, plug anything that you got coming up, you know, social media or what have you.
Well, before I do that, I would first like to thank you. And I'd like for all the fans and all the other wrestlers and managers and promoters out there to that's listening do, whenever you do podcasts like this, especially for RJ or any other podcast out there, definitely want to thank these guys because they are our, they're our voice. You guys give us a platform to be able to speak and talk about ourselves and get our names out there and get the fans who don't know us get a chance to know who we are and get to follow us and build up our brand and things like that. So if it was not for you guys, it would be so much more of a struggle to be able to build our brands like this. So I want to thank you so much, and I really appreciate the time of you letting me come up here and do this. The next thing I want to say is for a lot of the guys, so the younger guys who are coming up in this business, take your time, learn as much as you can, learn everything. Don't just learn a couple of things and feel like you're an expert at this. Like, everything is meshed together. Don't just learn the wrestling, learn the MMA, learn the boxing, learn all of it, because it's all being put together. If you're watching the platform which we have now in wrestling, it's not just wrestling. It's not just the amateur wrestlers or the Olympic wrestlers or anything like that. It's the MMA guys and the MMA girls that's stepping in. It's the boxers. It's the athletes, as far as baseball players and basketball players and football players. You got people who are coming from different type of events like American Ninja Warrior, and we got gymnastics people and things like that. So definitely go out there if you can do it. If you have the opportunity, the money, the resources to be able to learn anything and everything you can, do it, because you don't just want to be anything, be everything. And that's my little catchphrase for everyone. Don't be anything, be everything, because it's out there to get it. And of course, you know, you guys can always look at my social media stuff, but the easiest way to contact me and get connected to all my social media stuff, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, is to go to my website, www.thevictorandrews.com, and you can connect to all my stuff and be able to connect with me, know what events I got coming up, you'll be able to RSVP, whether or not you're going to come to a show or anything like that, and then, you know, connect to everything that is Mr. Everything Victor Andrews.
There you go. Well, like I said, I appreciate the kind words saying at the beginning, and, you know, hopefully this is one of many times we can have you on here, the show, and, you know, we'll stay in touch, definitely. So, appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much. Big thanks goes out to Mr. Everything, Victor Andrews. One hell of a talent, one and even better of a guy. Go follow him on his webpage that he mentioned. Go follow him on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, the works. Make sure that you give this guy a follow, because you will definitely see this guy's face on NXT coming up very, very soon, if not in WWE again. Also, please go over to iTunes and subscribe to the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Give us a 5-star review. We appreciate it more than you think. You take a snap picture of that said review, post it on Twitter, send it over to me at _ringsiderantRJ, and I will give you a shout out on the show as well as on Twitter. You can follow the network on Twitter at VizWrestleNet. That is V-I-S WrestleNet on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over to iTunes, Podable, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podknife, and download each episode on the Visionaries Network, which includes the show you're listening to right now, Ringside Rant, on every Monday. You also have the View from the Top Row podcast, downloading every Thursday. So make sure you give all of us here at the Visionaries Wrestling Network a follow, and we appreciate it. And as always, support your independent wrestling. And lastly, and more importantly, embrace the vision.